Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The Survivor Specialists are back, and today we have the Traders US Season 4 cast breakdown because the cast has officially dropped. I know most of you are probably used to seeing Will on here. Will is still the Traders guy, but because of his job currently at the moment, Blake is here. And honestly, I think this is better, Blake, because you know these people. Last year, I remember Will and I did a Traders Season 3 cast breakdown. And we sat here and we talked about it and we discussed. And pretty much it was like, yeah, I know who Tony is. I know who Jeremy is. I know who Boston Rob is. I know who Carolyn is. And it was like, you know anything about anybody else? Nope. Well, let's see what my wife has in store. So I'm excited today that you actually know about Big Brother, that you actually know about RuPaul's Drag Race. We have a couple actors on here. We have a couple figure skaters, which maybe people will know. So there's a wide array. We have Donna Kelsey, but we have to start with the fact that Rob Cesternino is going on to the Traders, and he's going to be on this season of the Traders, which is going to air potentially with overlap into Survivor 50.
I don't even think it's potential. I think it's like the main counter programming for that network.
At least in the first half, right? I got to look. When was the premiere of Traitors Season 3?
I think they usually start like January like 10th, and then Survivor comes around February 20-something. Mm-hmm. So they get most of it done, but by the time we were like, oh, is Carolyn going to win this whole thing? Then the new season of 48 started.
Oh, and I know, because I was dying. This March was crazy with Deal or No Deal Island and the Traitors and Australian Survivor and then regular Survivor. But yeah, it started last season was January 9th. So you figure it's going to be in early January. And if Rob stays in the game long enough, he's going to be on the season when Survivor 50 is going. And I want this to be positive. I don't want this to be negative. I mean, we're definitely going to dive into
what
this
means.
That's why
you brought in me, for sure.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the thing. But Will was like, I can't be here. And I started texting everybody I knew. And I was like, is anybody, any human being I know available? And they said no. And I was like, well, I guess we're getting, you know, Professor Positivity over here. But we are going to talk about this, and I want to talk about what this really means for Survivor as a whole and what it means for casting. But first, I just want to say, like, I'm pumped that Rob's on this, right? I'm so excited that he's going to be there. First time since 2004 that we're going to see him on a reality TV show.
That's crazy.
I love him. Like he's great TV. We've been clamoring for him to come back since his early exit in All Stars. He truly, truly, truly redefined what Survivor was in Survivor Amazon. And then what he's done with the podcast space has been amazing. And like, I love that he's there.
Because he has a podcast?
Yeah, I know, right? With all that he does, it helps us to get better numbers and stuff, right? Where you're constantly chasing. He's the carrot that you're never going to catch, but you're going to keep chasing it. You're going to keep getting things done. So I love what Rob's done. I love the community built. If anybody listened over there to the RHAP episode earlier that Bloom hosted, but there were like 37 people. It wasn't that many, but there were so many people who were on there. Josh Wiggler was on there and Taryn was on there and everybody. It was like the whole crew was on there talking about Rob's sister needing to be on the show. And there's a lot to be excited about with this. And that's why, you know, there's part of me in the past would have been like, well, we can put out the podcast next week when your work slows down and stuff. But I was like, you know what? Rob being on the show this time, I feel like we absolutely need to get this out day of. And it's like, how are you not pumped to see this? I mean, and they got Jam Jam and Natalie Anderson. That's great casting. I'm ready to watch all three of them. I think this is really good. And I think that they all actually have a much better chance than players like Jeremy and Tony had last season. Really, even Boston Rob. Boston Rob never had a chance to win. He just owned a little bit of the game. But you have something here, Blake, that you wanted to show before you start.
No. Okay, so let's get started.
I'm so happy Blake is here over Will from Ferret.
I didn't even see that one.
Yeah, you didn't see that one? That just came
such
out
a good
one.
Comment. Okay, here's what I'm trying to say. Rob Cesternino, I think he needs no introduction, but he has not been on TV since 2004. That was All-Stars Survivor. Was he going to be on another season with his wife? Maybe he was an alternate. Maybe you know more about it than I do, person watching, because you love Rob. I think it's something where Rob kind of defined what a crazy mastermind confessional artist can give in Amazon. I think we're going to see some of that if he can really eat up the scenery in where are they at? Scotland. Mm-hmm. He can eat up the scenery. I don't think he's going to be serving the looks, but I think he's going to be very much like, no.
Have you not seen what he wears for his recaps? Come on, Blake. Come on.
Anyway, but I think what we're trying to say is what's funny about the traders is it's very hard to play strategically and stick around if you are a faithful. So I think it's something where what are we hoping for Rob? I think it's just he's going to have fun in his like five episodes back. And then as soon as he says something extremely smart, the traders will kill him because it's like, okay, we can't let you get any further. That's what I'm expecting for him. But I think it'll be very fun. And like, it will be, I think, a total, not middle finger, but kind of a knuckle sandwich towards Survivor of like, this is going to be the meanest thing I say on this. It's funny because we put Asia on 47, but like, the person who built everything were like not good enough for our show a year later. And that's kind of crazy to me because if you're casting Asia from this spot, why are you not casting her boss who's in charge of all of it? Which is kind of like, I don't know. It'd be like, we don't want Phil Wood. We want Blake instead. And it'd be like, the whole reason we're watching this stuff is for Phil Wood, not for Blake.
I don't know, man. I like you. I could understand that. You have a personality that would fit the traders. No, but I totally understand what you're saying. I mean, Rob, I just hope for him that he's not one of the first couple people out, right? I hope we get to see Rob really do this because I know that Rob has been chilling, right? He's built this empire of podcasting over there. You know, if you go onto Apple Podcasts, you go scroll through the top 200 episodes in the film and TV category. And like, it feels like 25 of them are RHAP every single time you go through, whether Survivor's on or not on. It just feels like it's always that. And so he's built this thing and he talks about reality TV all the time. And he gets to recap it. And really, like, I truly think he really enjoys what he's doing. Maybe he's become jaded and I don't know it, but I feel like he loves what he's doing. And so I just hope that he gets to scratch this itch and that he doesn't come back and doesn't have an All-Stars type thing again, because that would be so disappointing. I feel like the audience and his fan base is clamoring for him to do well so badly. Like, we want to see him succeed because, like, look at what the guy has done. Like, he makes reality TV watchable if for some people, right? Like, you know, I know we have Michael Rapaport on this season, who my wife was informing me is on a lot of Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen and everything. But Andy Cohen does all his stuff for NBC or whatever network, Bravo, whatever it is. I don't know. But he's doing it for NBC Universal. Like, Rob does it for Rob. And Rob has this whole thing where he talks about it so free and so willy-nilly. And that's how I try to be over here when we do this channel. I always say, like, you're going to get the fan perspective here. I'm going to tell you what I really think. When I hated season 41, our numbers dropped by like 75%. But I was telling you what I think because that is what I think. And that's what I love about what Rob has done. Rob has his people there that he podcasts with, that he does all these things with. And it gives a lot of people a lot of excitement about reality TV. And I think there's going to be so many people who are going to be so pumped to watch him. And I just hope that he's not a big target early. And what always worries me is I don't think any of the survivors are going to be traitors this season. And we can get into that in a little bit. But what worries me is always that first murder, right? If there's no survivors in there, could one of them be like, dude, this Rob guy, I hear he has a podcast and loves reality TV. Like, let's just get rid of him because he's going to be dangerous. And if you don't have gamers up in the turret, that might be the way they think and they might get rid of him. So that's my biggest fear because that's the worst spot to go in the traders.
I mean, you need a story producer to be like, I can't rig this for you, but how about anybody besides Rob first?
Well, how about he comes in late, like Wes and Boston Rob?
I feel like
and,
we've got three Derek. More people that aren't haven't been announced yet that will happen or something. Okay, so great. Jam Jam and Natalie, I think they are both perfect. Like I wanted them to be on 50. I guess they're both winners, so they couldn't be or whatever stipulation. I think the only thing I'll say about this is there's a lot of people being like the Traitors cast is better than Survivor 4 to 50. It is kind of like, oh, so a new era before Suri or old era before old school before Suri, most what people call him, most should have won but didn't, old school, and then a winner from the middle and a winner from the new era. Like it is all three eras represented, all like completely like we are hitting all cylinders of there's twins involved. There's Jam Jam involved, like a gay rep, a whatever diversity you want to say. It is kind of like, oh, they just literally murdered Survivor of were any of those three people in contention for the other thing? And how did they let those slip through? I think that is a large part of this. And like, you kind of want to be like, who on CBS is going to give me money to knock out these Survivor players? I got you, bro. It is kind of I just think that's the behind the scenes type of this of if these three players do the best out of everyone, it's going to kind of be like, how did they not get on that Survivor season? Mm-hmm.
I mean, the thing is Rob, we know is in the mix and he's been very open about how he got cut and stuff. Jam Jam, I was surprised at, cause I thought Jam Jam was kind of beloved. When I went to the FIU event that D and Ben were at, that was run by CBS, Jam Jam was up there on stage with D like talking. And I said, oh wow, they're setting up D and Jam Jam to be the future faces of this franchise. Natalie Anderson, Michelle Fitzgerald has the record for best average placement of anybody to play more than once without being voted out. But Natalie Anderson has the best average placement of anybody to play more than once because she technically gets first and second, even though she gets voted out so early. So I understand maybe why they
technical about that. That happened. Yeah.
Yeah, it's technical. But I think that like with Natalie, I might understand why she's not there. She was on The Amazing Race twice. She was on Survivor twice. She did The Edge of Extinction for so long. Maybe they're kind of feeling run down by Natalie. So, but Jam Jam and Rob's sister Nino, I am a little bit surprised at that. So I do feel like, you know, those two are big misses, but Natalie, I actually think is probably the best suited out of the three for this game, because the one thing we have seen is, and I mean, this is just how the Traitors is gone, so I don't think I'm saying anything wrong, but like louder gay people have done really poorly on the Traitors. They have. So I do worry about Jam Jam, who is so himself.
Louder gay people. Isn't that redundant? I mean, I'm gay.
Wait, so come on. You can say that. I can't say that.
I think our Big Brother people, by the way, is Ian Terry. He was first originally on Big Brother back in 2012. His first season is the season that he won. I think, why is he here? Well, the person he beat on that season was Dan Gieseling. And thank you, James Barber, for getting there. Dan Gieseling was on season two of this. So if you're kind of like, okay, that makes sense. Ian... he didn't come out or anything, but he's like, oh, I have autism. Maybe I didn't know that I had it whenever, or I'm autistic, whatever, past presence or whatever it is. That's not how that works, but he is autistic. that was a very much a, I realized this, I got diagnosed in between my two seasons. He came back. He's very personable. If you don't know who this person is, if you're learning this person's name for the first time, he's very personable. He makes really great alliances. He wins challenges when he needed to the first time around. And he was sitting next to like the most despicable person in Big Brother history at that time to win 6-1. And then he came back for an all-star season, and don't ask how that happened, because he was beloved, but was ran out of the house by an alliance that nobody really liked before jury started. I think Ian Terry is a perfect person for this. If he's going to try and inject some strategy into this game when it's basically heads up, seven up, and hope for the best is kind of the strategy I think works the best for the traders. The other person from this is Tiffany. And Tiffany was on season 23 of Big Brother, which is the season where everybody knows the cookout dominated. And let me type this in so I'm not, let me say what year it is and all that stuff and say her last name. Tiffany Mitchell, I think, right?
It is Mitchell, yeah.
So Tiffany Mitchell was on this season. She did get sixth place, but everybody that made top six, they were alliance where we are going to get together, call it the cookout, and make sure that we are just aligned together of we are all going to the end. And it was a very like watershed moment of like diversity hitting all cylinders. But it was a carefully laid plan that didn't seem gross when you're watching it. I don't think anybody is like, ew, why did that happen? And like it did kind of change Big Brother's strategy for a while. And all of it was like, Tiffany is putting in the work masterclass of making sure everyone is eliminated when they're supposed to go to make a group go further, but she never went selfish on that. And she never like planned past six, and she got sixth place. So I think she's going to be really good at the strategy of like running this like the Navy, but it is kind of like, is she going to ever take that step and be selfish, or is she going to be a traitor? And like, she has ulterior motives, but she makes a group of like five or six people of like, because the unbeatable strategy is like, take two traitors and four faithfuls and like, let's just go to final six and see what happens. And that is a thing of like, I think Tiffany is probably going to be in game in this, just of how good she is as a player. And maybe her weakness was a little bit of challenges of like, she couldn't win out at the end to like make it to the end.
Yeah, it seems like the reaction of the Big Brother and Survivors has been overwhelmingly positive. And obviously, you know, you're a huge Big Brother fan. You covered last season of Big Brother here on the channel. And I know you were like, not the season to be doing, but here we are. I do feel like, you know, people are really pumped about Ian and Tiffany on this season. I feel like right now the Survivor reaction has been so good. I mean, just having Rob would have been enough, but then to get Jam Jam and Natalie as well has been awesome. So I am excited to see how this is going to shake out for all of those like competition type shows, right? Because if I'm not mistaken, there's no challenge people on this season. So
Tiffany was on one season of the challenge, and Natalie was on one season of the challenge.
Yeah, but they're not original challenge people. And I feel like we saw the original challenge people do really well with Trishel and CT back in season two. And they haven't used them since. And I wonder if that's just something. I know the challenge was shooting its biggest season at one point, but now I wonder if people are just over it. So, I'm curious how this will go for sure with the Big Brothers and the Survivors, because it doesn't feel like there's as much of like maybe like a Bravo Housewives type line this time.
And then I think my next stuff I know a lot about where you're going to be like, wait, what? Is the figure skaters of Johnny Weir and Tara Lipinski. My mom watched figure skating all growing up, and I was in the corner watching this stuff. Johnny Weir is a super, his brand is whatever. Tara Lipinski has been his best friend for probably 10 or 15 years. I know they have done hosting gigs on multiple networks that Peacock is involved with, in NBC, maybe some NBC Sports. Maybe they cover the Olympics together. Maybe they also did the type of like, it's New Year's, but earlier than the Andes went on. And I think they are like literally best friends. And I think they're going to be a huge pair in this. It would be kind of funny to have Johnny Weir be a traitor, because I think he would just immediately be like, oh, this is terrifying or whatever. And Winter Olympics is coming up. Paul Murphy got there. So I think this is kind of like, you just watched Johnny Weir and Terry Lipinski on the Traitors, and now they're hosting the next season of the Winter Olympics. Terry Lipinski, I think she's very popular on TikTok right now. She posts like lifestyle stuff if she has multiple kids. She does like, oh, here's my routine I did 10 years ago, but with a baby bump and other type of stuff. So it's definitely like, yeah, I don't know. Do they burn through Traitors episodes or it's like.
It was, I don't know if it's me freezing or if it's Blake. Blake, I think you're freezing a little bit. It could be me, but I don't know if it's you or me. I'm not getting a Wi-Fi notification, so it might be you. But from what I mean, it's always been January, February, March. I think the first season was a little bit less than that and a little bit shorter, but it was definitely there. And I once the cast was officially announced, I now have like four different group chats with my wife's friends that are just saying all the things to know about some of these people. One of them that I got was the Johnny Tara codependency is top tier advertising for the Olympics. And another was that Johnny might be able to give Alan a run for his money with his outfits, because I guess Johnny is known for his like eccentric fashion taste. So yeah, I mean, it's funny that you know a lot about them, but it seems like everybody does. And this is again where it's good that it's not me and Will doing this podcast, because I'm pretty sure me and Will would have been staring at each other like, I don't know. So,
now, Monet Exchange. What do you know about RuPaul's Drag Race?
I know that you watch it. That's what I know about
RuPaul's Drag Race. Monet is. Monet is season 10, got sixth place, All-Stars 4. She tied for the win. All-Stars 7. She got second place. All-Stars 7 was all winners. Monet Exchange is one of the most electric personalities I think that RuPaul's Drag Race has to offer. She is best friends with Bob. Bob is best friends with Peppermint. So it is interesting to go Peppermint, Bob, Monet Exchange. Monet is known to be like, I love reality TV competition shows. So I think she'll have a little bit more game into her. She is so fun to be around, but I think there is a layer to her where maybe some stuff goes over her head. So I think if she pairs up with somebody, a legend in a game, a strategic player, if she hooks up with one of them and makes an alliance, I think she'll be near in game. And it will be like, did Monet Exchange get duped and she loses? Or does Monet Exchange figure out who's been her friend this whole time that has been duping her and Monet Exchange wins the whole game? I think Monet is destined for a top six slot in this season.
So obviously I had my comment earlier when I was talking about Jam Jam, but the people who have been on Drag Race have been terrible on the show. Not bad TV. They've been great TV, but they go out insanely early. Peppermint went out, I think, first, and then Bob the Drag Queen just put a target square.
Bob knows what he's doing. He's going to All Stars. So
yeah, he put a target square on his back. So that was different, right? But I think that both were great TV, but both went out really early. Monet Exchange going to change that? I know nothing about Monet Exchange, so I'm asking you. You're saying sixth. You're saying like she's going to understand the game better and go further while still providing good TV, or is she going to have to turn it off a little bit?
I think what I'm trying to say is, she is the good cop to Bob's bad cop. So it is kind of like, I don't mind doing these challenges with Monet and hanging out with Monet and sipping Chardonnay with Monet, eating breakfast with Monet. And then, oh, it's already like final eight, final six. And like, she's still around because she's fun to be around. I don't think she's going to be angry and rocking the boat. It's more of like, you can laugh with her, have a blast. And then like, I think there's going to be some people that go, Monet is a huge airhead, because that is what happens sometimes. But then it is, what is the confessional Monet shares right afterward? These people think I'm an airhead and I'm locked in, or it's the one out of like three times where she's like completely oblivious and is an airhead. Like, I'm not saying that's her brand.
All right, so I think it's Blake who's crazy. Of like, you said it's not her brand, and then I lost you. You said it's not her
brand. It's not her brand, but like there's a thought process of she wore a dress with all sponges around it and she thought it looked amazing. And it's like one of the worst dresses in Drag Race history, but she thought she looked good. And everybody's like, what are you talking about? And like, there's that layer of, she has confidence that can come off as airheadness if she's not dialed in.
Gotcha. Yeah. It seems like a lot of people over here are talking about James Barber says, I believe she went on that Survivor influencers trip last month.
Yes.
And then Patrick Stahl says Monet was just on an episode of Dropout's new show with Becca Scott within the last week or two, but not in drag. So, okay.
I think Monet is the most likely to be like, I'm going to do this episode in drag. And then like this whole episode, I'm just going to be a boy.
Yeah.
Which is okay. All the terms that we say, Colton is the other person I kind of know about, and you got a picture.
My wife told me to put the picture up. There it is. I don't know what this means. She just told me to use this picture.
This season of Bachelor, I actually watched some of. So it's the only one because all of us thought Colton was gay. And then Colton ended up being the Bachelor who had a whole season of this and then was like, oh, I'm actually gay. I don't know if he got engaged immediately.
I've seen Colton from like a few feet away in Huntington Beach. Rachel and I were walking and she goes, that's Colton. I think he was still with the girl that he like dated from The Bachelor or whatever. So this was back when we were living in LA still. So
here's some negative stuff about Colton. I think the person that he was most in love with from his season, that was a woman, got a restraining order on him.
Okay.
So that's not a... Why are we giving this guy a platform?
Yeah.
He was already on a CBS show where it was like the one where it's like Survivor, but not really. Because it was like Up a Creek Without a Paddle, but it was all celebrities. And I think he did well on that. I think he's going to be the guy who just sits in the corner and goes like, oh, interesting. Oh, cool. I think he'd be a waste of a traitor. Please, God, don't give him a traitor thing. I don't know why I'm being so harsh, but I think there is a reason to be harsh of like, I would not mind if he went home in the first five eliminations, because if he's around the whole time, you are kind of like, damn, okay.
Was it Beyond the Edge, Blake? Royal 17 says?
That sounds about right.
Okay. Kevin Hernandez hit you with the super chat. What's your favorite traitor season?
I definitely think Phaedra was the cool.
Phaedra's like, great.
Yeah, I liked Gabby too from last season, but Phaedra and that like part of it, he being like, whatever. What you may not remember, Peter, is I don't have to kiss your ass for a rose. Like, I don't know how you could be mad about that. Donna Kelsey, are you pumped for that?
So here's my theory, right? So like I've been on Rob's podcast once. I've met Rob a bunch of times. Rob is probably going to say like, you know, I do a podcast and we have to squish these smaller podcasts like bugs. And he might say the specialist to Donna Kelsey. And then Donna Kelsey is going to be like, what's the specialist? I should talk to Travis and Jason about this when I get home. And then Travis Kelsey and Taylor Swift, they're going to tune in and they're going to actually start using us as the main recap episodes for the traders. So that's my theory here. Taylor Swift will be on this podcast within the year. And if not Taylor Swift, we'll at least get Jason or Travis Kelsey. So within the year, don't worry about it. They will be on this podcast for free too, because we certainly cannot afford their appearance fees.
I just realized like Donna Kelsey is legitimately like the mom of the most successful podcaster. Like his wife is one of the most successful podcasters right now for Without Trying. So like maybe there is a podcast alliance brewing of like,
that's true.
Donna Kelsey, me and you. I'm Rob Sesternino. Let's make a Donna podcast.
Look, I think that Donna Kelsey's a fun podcasting choice, right? Like during the NFL season, seeing her in the press box and everything with in the suites with Taylor Swift, and it's fun. And I think that's some people are like, why is Donna Kelsey here? Because it's fun. It's funny, and that's what the traders.
She's gonna get on a horse and go backwards to try and get a gold shield.
I want to see Donna Kelsey jumping out of a helicopter like at the end of last season. That's what I want to see. But I think it's fun. So that's fine. I like that. That's fine with me. Let's go with some other. Oh, so they're bringing Dorinda back because she went out first last season.
Immediately.
Yeah. She was the first one murdered, which is what I'm worried for Rob or whatever it was. She was the first one out. But everybody like, again, all these group chats that are suddenly blowing me up is just talking about how she's absolutely amazing and how they're so happy she's back. And it seems like the traders just realized what they missed out on with her. So happy to see her back. You know, definitely better than like when they bring in Kate, who I'd already seen so much. I don't need to see Kate come in and you know, play for like the whole second half of the game. Dorinda, we never got to see. So sure, I'm okay with bringing in people. This is like Bruce, right? Like, sure, whatever. Sounds good.
I think that is a layer of, okay, Dorinda, pop off. Like, it's also funny because they didn't do that for Bananas last season. So it's another, like, screw you, Bananas, of like, we didn't find it worth it doing that to you, but we were going to bring Dorinda back in the same way. Lisa Rinna is a huge get, I think, too, of like, Lisa Rinna broke containment where I knew about her maybe 10 years ago. And the fact, I think people aren't really too excited for her on her Housewife seasons, but I think she is somebody that kind of like fights back, goes crazy out of nowhere. Or like, if there's somebody who's like,
I'm hearing she was fired from Beverly Hills. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah. And like, she's just going to throw up her hands one time and be like, screw this. And hopefully it's like during a challenge and it pisses off a bunch of people. Then she gets in fights with people. And like, I don't know if you've seen what her face looks like recently. Like, if they ever put a helmet on and her lips are sticking out and like she gets hit sideways, I think that'll be a funny visual. But I'm not advocating for punching Lisa Rinna in the face. I'm just saying, what if it happens with a flugel stick or something? But it's something where I don't think she makes a cast worse. I know there's some people that would be like, she's been really bad on Housewives recently, but she's super funny to have in this moment. I think that's good for John Millsap. Get him on more podcasts. Donna Kelsey is this season's Dylan Efron Canestein to the ninth degree. I think that is legitimately one of the smartest things I've ever heard of like, if you like Dylan Efron, what's the one we could do? And this is the most out of the box version of that, yeah. Of like, how is Donna Kelsey saying yes to this and excited?
Yeah, no, I love that too. So yeah. And then let's keep with the Housewives here because I have my notes up for all of the Housewives. Because my wife doesn't watch these, but so many other people. Candace.
Yeah.
Iconic, but hated by some fans because she hits below the belt, like called others fat and ugly and whores all the time. She's great. Being hilarious. So that's funny. Threw a knife at someone and got in a fist fight. Was also a pageant girl. Left Potomac last year to have a baby. And then another note that I got here was how iconic she is for the fights and everything, but they're worried that she'll be less crazy because she had the baby. You know anything about Candace, or is this news to you?
I have no idea who this is. Yeah.
We're going to have to put like notes at the end of this. Thank you to Sam, Hannah, Michaela, Rachel. Those are the four people who are really hitting me up with notes.
I mean, right now. Maybe they'll.
I won't say who said what, just in case anybody's like, yo, that was bullshit. You know, so
protect. She's one of my least favorite housewife, but she's a great pick for the traders. Like, that's how you got to think about this stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
Maybe there will be a knife throwing competition too, and she'll fit right in.
I mean, you never know. Let's see what else we got here.
What about Portia?
Portia doesn't watch Atlanta, but knows she's famously stupid, like thought the Underground Railroad was a real railroad. So I guess that's one way to look at Portia. It says she's the queen of Atlanta and one of a few longtime members of the cast still on the show. Can be messy and a big pot stirrer, but doesn't start fights or drama lately. She's been going through a divorce, really emotional. Hopefully she's more back to her old ways on The Traitors. That's Portia.
I think the only thing I saw of this, who's the girl last year that got like fourth place and was so bad? Or maybe this was two seasons ago. Like,
oh my God, dude. MJ?
No. Give me 1 second. I'm going to, because Traitors.
It's got to be MJ that you're talking about with the pants.
No, I know who MJ is. I'm going to screw this up for everybody, but it's so funny. Somebody was like, yeah, Sheree.
So, oh, Sheree. Yeah.
Somebody was like, Portia makes Sheree look like Einstein.
Dude.
Holy crap.
I will say I appreciate how nasty like the fans of the Bravo shows get. I think that's so much fun, how nasty they get. Because with Survivor, it's so nice and all, this person's trying their best. But with this, it's like, no, their literal careers is to be on reality TV. We don't feel bad for them. If they're stupid, we're going to tell you. I love that that's how the fans are across the board here. Let's go to Maura, who is it? Somebody here just said, God, the comments keep moving. Cody Brayman, outside the gamers, Moore is the best casting choice, in my opinion. And so my wife says NBC says Love Island USA After Sun, which is the Love Island USA after show for Moore. But her actual claim to fame is Love Island UK season 5. Her favorite Love Island contestant of all time. She's extremely Irish and just so funny slash vulgar. When Love Island UK announced it was doing all-star seasons, everyone wanted Moore, but she took that Love Island USA After Sun paycheck instead. So I guess Moore is the one that we're most excited for.
I mean, great. In this household. That makes that such a, like, let's go instead of, I was not looking forward to her. I'm clicking the button. Isn't she, like, beautiful too? She's beautiful.
I have the pictures up for Dalton Ross. I mean, she kind of looks like Kate Beckinsale around Van Helsing times, but like more done up.
I mean, that's the best Beckinsale there is.
That is the best Beckinsale there is. Yes, Van Helsing. I own that movie.
Rob, the other Rob from Love Island. I know a little bit about him, and this isn't going to be popular, but he was on two seasons back to back of Love Island. Of it was kind of like he is a shitster type. How bad did I freeze? That looked like I froze.
You froze. You said he's a shit, and then literally it stopped, and your face was just there. But go ahead. So he's
okay.
A shit.
So Rob is a shitster. He is legitimately one of the, like, he had a will they won't they thing with the girl last season that I saw on TikTok over and over again, and it was like, they were so, like, mean to each other, but in love, but, like, passive aggressive. And it was something of, like, Rob has a lot of haters, but one thing you cannot say about Rob at all is that he's boring. So I think this is another one of those situations of, like, we actually don't give a shit what he says on the show. We know how entertaining he is, and whether you hate him or not, he's coming.
Well, I mean, that worked, and that also really did work for Tom Sandoval last season, right? Like, a lot of people were disgusted that Tom Sandoval was going to be on, and then Tom Sandoval was great, and what, he's on House of Villains or something, right? That was announced, I think, where it's like, he's going to be on, or whatever, it was leaked, I don't know, but, like, I'm pretty sure Tom Sandoval's on House of Villains. I don't really pay too much attention to what's going on over there, but I'm pretty sure. And so, like, Tom Sandoval was a success, and I think that the Traitors doesn't have to be clean. Because the Traitors is at its height of popularity. And if somebody gets extra nasty, they do chop this show up so much that they can just omit it and then be like, afterwards with the Andy Cohen show, like, this person was awful and here's why. So I think that they can get away with some of these casting choices, and all of a sudden we're liking people that people never thought they were going to like. So I'm all about this. I think this is good.
Is Rob going to wear the overalls? I think they sneak in. Yeah. I do. They cost so much money. Why wouldn't he not bring them back?
So let me go down this line here and make sure we haven't missed anybody yet, because we're kind of not going in order.
Can we talk about Housewives of Dubai lady named Caroline Stanbury?
Okay. So the only notes I have for Caroline Stanbury is that she's on Dubai and she's like, has a 30-year-old husband or something like that. That's all I have. And then she's a bit of a reality mean girl and good at it. She was on Ladies of London and now Real Housewives of Dubai. Real Housewives of Dubai didn't really work last season. I forget what the name of the.
I mean, she was hilarious, though, of, like, to her after show stuff where she was like, Tom Sandoval is looking kind of hot and everyone.
Oh, like, that's true. What? It was really just on the show with Chanel. Yeah, she didn't really click on the show, but she was good otherwise.
We have the host of Top Chef. Isn't she the new host? Oh, she's a judge.
Yeah, I don't know who this is, Kristen Kish. This is somebody that I don't have.
She's a former chef testant. She won an, I don't know if it was All Stars, but her win was kind of like a Redemption Island win where she, like, went home early but did the Last Chance Kitchen over and over again. And that's something where it's like, I haven't watched Top Chef on purpose in 5 years, but I think people are excited about her. And I don't know. I don't think people aren't bitchy on Top Chef very much, but she won. Yeah. These are winners of seasons of some of this stuff. So it's like, okay, cool.
All right. So we already talked about Colton. I don't know why I said that.
Asked him about the new House of Villains season.
Well, here, Xavier Lott says it's a much stronger group of housewives. In my opinion, all of them are entertaining and big personalities. Some of them may make good traders too. I think that they might be setting up for there to be more traders that aren't gamers right now. I think that's, like, kind of the plan here. We haven't done Mark, Mark Ballas from Dancing with the Stars. Do you know anything about him? Because I have notes if you don't. I can't see you, so I'm just going to go.
Show him.
Oh, I was looking at something else. So Mark is one of the iconic Dancing with the Stars pros. He's not on the show anymore, but he won it 3 times. Prone to giving the judges attitude and breaking the rules of different ballroom dance styles. My wife's dad called him a punk, which is honestly, you know, a compliment. Lisa Rinna and Mark Ballas were both on Dancing with the Stars, but Lisa was season 2 before Mark joined. One of Mark's
Johnny Weir was also on Dancing with the Stars. Well, then.
But here you go. One of Mark's Dancing with the Stars partners was Kristen Cavallari, Stephen Coletti's Laguna Beach co-star and ex-girlfriend. And Stephen Coletti is on this season listed as One Tree Hill and not Laguna Beach, which is very funny. So Stephen Coletti's here too. How do you feel about this?
Okay, well, that Stephen Coletti's way cooler as a Laguna Beach holdover than One Tree Hill.
Did you know that, or are you just saying those words because I just said those words?
No, I had no, like, oh, I haven't seen One Tree Hill, but if it's like, he kind of looked familiar, or, and it's like, oh, Laguna Beach, because you can, like, figure out some tie-ins from that. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, him and then the singer guy was like, I don't know who these people are at all.
My wife is saying that she thinks that Steven has the best chance of being the pilot Peter Dylan Efron of this season. So,
okay.
We'll see how that goes.
Who is Eric Nam?
Eric Nam is I don't know the band here. He's not currently, it says Eric Nam is, this is from AI Overview, so this is probably wrong.
Oh, sure,
known for being a solo artist in the K-pop industry and has been involved in various media projects. He's not currently part of a K-pop group. He was a solo artist starting in 2012.
Oh my God. Ready? At the 2018 Winter Olympics, he was named an honorary ambassador for South Korea and America. He appeared on the primetime Olympic broadcast of American NBC with interviewers Johnny Weir and Tara Lipinski.
So they are just milking this.
This is a trio
for the upcoming winter. Are the Winter Olympics in 2026? Is that what's happening?
Yes.
Yeah. So they're just milking this for the Winter Olympics of 2026. They want these people to be on at the same time so they can do tie-ins with it.
And he was on Somebody Feeds Phil for an episode.
I want to put this one.
He was on The Masked Singer in South Korea as himself, as Broccoli. Jeez.
Okay. Will would know him then. Lakiki missed D.C. Y'all don't sleep on Candace Dillard Bissett. Trust me. She worked in the White House and Howard HBC alum, you know. Dude, she's in the White House. Okay, that's something that was left out of my notes.
Oh, Candace was in the White House.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's why we had chat. Just
we need the chat for this. Like, yeah. We don't know these people in the way that some of you do. Noah Walsh says,
I don't even know to put respect on her name, you know. Yeah, that is exactly what I know about Kristen is she got screwed over and just murdered everyone in Last Chance Kitchen. The last person I think is Ron Funches. I love Ron Funches.
Ron Funches. We have Ron Funches and Michael Rapaport. We haven't talked about either of those.
The last good person in the cast is Ron Funches. Ron Funches is one of the funniest people ever. I think this is a great, like, this is just a guy who's like, that'd be fun to do. And I think that's kind of how he sounds. And I think that's how he's going to approach the game of, like, there's nothing he's going to take seriously. He is a comedian. I fully expect him to be joking the whole time and rolling his eyes, but being, like, funny the whole way.
Well, so let me ask you this, because I looked him up and I didn't recognize him for anything, but then I saw he was in Trolls as a voice, obviously. Is he like a straight up stand-up comedian? Because, like, I don't know him from anything.
He is a stand-up comedian, yes.
Yeah, and I don't like stand-up, so that makes sense there. I like don't watch stand-up at all.
I mean, well, who was he in BoJack Horseman? Let me do some
things. Ron Funches in BoJack Horseman. All right, tell me which character. Tell me the character name and I'll figure that out now. I'll know if he's funny or not.
Well, it said he, I guess, no, let me type in Google. Okay. He was also on the At Midnight a lot. That's where I saw him a bunch. Oh my gosh.
People are saying though, they think he could be a gamer even with the funniness. So,
I'm clicking BoJack. It says, he's Levi from BoJack.
Levi.
That can't be a thing. That makes sense.
Wait, hang on. Now I have to look. All right, now we're at, I'll say this now. Everybody like this video.
He's the chicken. He's a chicken.
Is the one, wait, the one who just box?
No, he's a one bit character in BoJack Horseman. He's the owner of Gentle Farms. He's the primary antagonist of the episode Chickens.
Yeah, he's in the one episode. Okay, I know what you're talking about, and that's the one where it's what's your favorite contemporary composer or whatever, and the guy goes, and the chicken goes Bach, and he goes, "Oh, see, I'm not really a Bach fan." It's so good. That show is so brilliant, man. God, what's his name?
Let's have a BoJack Horseman podcast, please,
dude. Scott Chernoff, right? That's how you say his last name. When I had done the PG podcast back during COVID. We had done like a game thing when PG was doing her game channel, which I think she still does. But we did it, and Scott Chernoff was on there, and I was like, yeah, like that's nice having a talk with this guy, blah, blah, blah. As soon as it ended, I realized that he was a writer, like a staff writer on BoJack Horseman, and just blew my mind because I'm sitting there at the time with like my BoJack Horseman wall calendar right here. Just love that show so much. Perfect TV show. So yeah, pumped about that. All right, what's this?
He's the type of guy that'll just be on random on Celebrity Wheel of Fortune. I remember that. I think he's been on Celebrity Jeopardy. So, wrong one. So I think that'll be a thing where, oh, this is not his first rodeo, even if it's like his first time giving confessionals while he's doing all this.
All right. So I just want to, so Michael Rapaport, and if it's like podcast, whatever, I don't want to get into the politics stuff, but is the hate for Michael Rapaport based around politics? Because it feels like he does stuff with Andy Cohen. He seems like he's connected with the Housewives. Like it seems like he's a fan of the Housewives. I pretty much know Michael Rapaport from Deep Blue Sea. That's essentially what I know about Michael Rapaport. So is it the politics that make people don't like him? Does he just say shit that like people disagree with primarily? Because he keeps ending up on these shows. So, but everybody has seemed to really hate him.
I just looked at his first last Instagram post. He's saying Greta the Gremlin. So, okay.
So yeah,
maybe it's that.
Yeah, like, so it's if you're on one side of the political spectrum, you hate Michael Rapaport. Yeah, which kind of surprises me though that he's on so much Bravo stuff then.
Yeah, and that's something where I'm like, why would we call people gremlins if we're actually trying to make?
And Blake froze. See, this is where Michael Rapaport is actually. Blah, blah, blah. Michael Rapaport is actually in control of our stream because you said, why are we calling people gremlins if, and then it froze. So it's almost like Michael Rapaport was like, we're going to call people gremlins because I said so, Blake. You're not allowed to finish that sentence. What was the rest of
your
sentence?
I think he's somebody that is supposed to be inflammatory. And it is somebody where you're like, I hope they go in the first three episodes because I don't want to kind of have my mellow people that I'm excited for just have a really shitty time because there's one person in the corner being like, y'all are a bunch of idiot people. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay.
I also know him from the Friends episode where Joey Tribbiani has the meatball sub and Michael Rapaport is the cop. And Michael Rapaport's that got a lot of cheese on it. And Joey's like, yeah, he's like, a lot of sauce. He's like, then you can't eat that in the cop car. And Joey's very disappointed. That's pretty much what I know Michael Rapaport from and how damn tight his outfit is in Deep Blue Sea. Yeah. I mean, I know people are saying he's a diabolical casting choice, you know, whatever it is. Whenever we do this stuff, I understand it's different with some of these reality people. I try not to get into the politics of the people because I try to just like watch the show for what the show is and not get angry about things that are happening outside of it. I don't really follow a lot of the people on stuff. I try to avoid it, but it seemed like with Michael Rapaport, the entire internet was like, we hate this guy. And then I'm like, but he's on Watch What Happens Live all the time, according to my wife. So confusing. But
okay. Pick three traitors.
So I think Will and I are probably going to end up doing an entire podcast where we talk about who we think would make the best traders and stuff like that. Now that we like dove into it and maybe talk about some of the survivors or whatever, we'll figure something out so we can get Will involved in some preseason content. But I personally think based on what people in the comments are saying about the Housewives and kind of like who they are, I think that what we're in for this time is I think Monet Exchange is going to be one. I think that they're going to try to like Bob the drag queen obviously dropped the ball last season and was a little too aggressive. But I think Monet Exchange, from what people are saying, is a bigger fan of all of these types of reality shows. So I think they'll make her one of them and try to make sure she doesn't get murdered right away and plays a little bit quieter. And then they can actually have somebody from Drag Race make it further than like three or four episodes. I think that they might go with one of the Housewives. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they went with Dorinda. because a lot of people, like, are they going to be thinking that the person they bring back for a second time is going to be listed in there? And you know what? For the hell of it, it's got to be Johnny Weir or Tara Lipinski. They can't both be faithful. So I'm going to say that Johnny Weir is the third trader. So those are my official predictions. Johnny, Dorinda, and Monet Exchange. What do you think?
Oh, my God. That would be crazy. I think what I'm trying to say is we had Sari. We had, Danielle. Who's on season two that I just said I love so much? Phaedra. Mm-hmm. So, Bob, I think there's just a lot of reps where you're like, these are all people from gamer shows that are, I guess, not Phaedra. She's a housewife. There's so many gamers that get made into both seasons of the first two had Big Brother males be on
Dan
it.
And Cody. Yep.
Big Brother has had a trader every single season. Was there a Survivor trader last year? No. So
yeah, there was.
Carol. Oh, Rob and Carol. Oh my God. So Survivor and Big Brother. My God. I messed up. I forgot about Carolyn for a second. For a split second. Yeah. So it is kind of are you gonna put the gamers every single time in the traders? Or is this the time where we have Donna Kelsey, Ron Funchess, and like one CBS person are the traders? Because you can't just keep having it to be the same formula, or people are going to be like, yeah. Okay, Natalie's here, and there's only six people left. She's the only person that probably is a traitor still.
Well, because what was it? So in season one, it was Sari, Cody, and then Christian. So that was the rando. In season two, the starting traders were Dan and Phaedra, and then they recruited Parvati right off the bat because they were able to do that. And then in season three, that's the one we just watched. So it started off as Danielle, Carolyn, and Bob the drag queen. And then they keep recruiting and they keep. So I do feel like they're probably going to go away from Big Brother and Survivor this season. I think that they're going to go more of that.
They almost have to.
They have to. It's too predictable. It's too predictable.
All right. Ron Funchess, Don and Kelsey, and Mark Ballas are your traders.
So who do you think? Because I said my three. Who do you truly think?
If I could pick three people just for maximum chaos, it is Ron Funchess, it is Donna Kelsey, and then I'll do Johnny Weir as well.
Johnny Weir. They can't have Johnny and Tara be on the same team to start it. Who was the third person? I said Simone Exchange, Johnny Weir, and... Oh, Dorinda. Okay. Couldn't remember. All right. That's going to do it for this episode. So thank you all so much for listening. We'll probably have more traders coverage, at least one or two more episodes before the season begins. You know, I mean, there's not as much to do with this, but I'm happy that we get the cast this early and then it doesn't air until like January. So here we are. But if you're really into Survivor 50, we finally take a little break from that to do this, but we have two series going on for Survivor 50 right now. It's pre-recorded content, short, quick lunch break type episodes. We're doing the defining episodes for every player. And then we're also doing everything you need to know about every player. So far we dropped Jenna Lewis's today for defining episode. We talk all the way about Survivor Borneo. So if you're excited about Survivor and you want to hear more about that, go check that video out. I do it with John and McKenna to get you all pumped for their Survivor Rewind show, which they do a great job of and happens during the regular season. And then Blake and Tegwith and I, we've been switching on and off episodes here. Will's going to be doing some in the future once he's off his show, but we've already put out the episodes for Joe Hunter, Sari and Ozzy for everything you need to know about. Emily Flippin drops on Monday. And then for the other series, Kyle drops on Tuesday. So there's a lot going on there. It's been pretty chaotic. We've had so much content actually coming out. Alexa and I did a podcast on Tuesday where we talked all about all the players and their cast connections for Survivor 50. So it's been a lot. And then somebody had said it way earlier. They had said, you know, something about Phil. I know we don't want to get off topic, but that Heroes versus Villains Tribal Council. So I am watching Australian Survivor Heroes versus Villains over on the Patreon. Heroes versus Villains is so damn good. And I'm putting out episodes every Friday where I'm breaking it off into three episode chunks. The first three episodes dropped today, and then the next three will drop next week. And I've already watched ahead because it's actually so good. So I'm already recorded through the 27th. So if you want to check out some of that, go ahead and check that out and see what you think. And, I'm excited to keep on watching that. So patreon.com/thespecialist. A lot of fun stuff going on over there. And we're actually going to be diving into Survivor US Heroes versus Villains for our Every Season Matters. I guess the last thing here, Blake, we might as well throw it up here. Cody Brayman says, Phil and Blake, do you think they add roles this season? This was something Will and I had talked about last season. Do you think they're going to add anything, or do you think they just keep it status quo and have the seer and that's really it?
I heard most of your question. I think what I'm going to say is The Traitors so far is the most popular show that's come out in 5 years. I think they're going to ride this until people stop watching, and that's when they add a hidden immunity idol or other things. It's already hard enough for some of their contestants to grasp how this works, to have like a... I think in the past there's been a Traitors thing where at Final Six they introduced a thing that kind of ruined a season, where they probably don't want that to happen, of like everyone goes, well, that was really fun until they announced the mayor or whatever the hell it is. But I think stuff like you have to kill Ek and Sue using a poison water, I want more stuff like that. That was super fun, of like get them to touch this book or eat some lasagna you made for them. Like that seems way cooler.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think that would be fun. And I think we will see varieties of that for sure as this gets going, because I do think that people are going to be, you know, the producers are trying to figure out a way to keep it fresh, but not ruin what the show is. And they're not looking to make drastic changes because people are so into it. So it doesn't really matter.
I think this is just a all-stars show that brings in everyone from your house of, normally I just watch Housewives. I don't care about Survivor. Normally, yeah. I just watch Survivor. I don't care about Housewives. Now you can watch it with your uncle, your cousin, your wife, your boyfriend. All those people have someone to watch, and everyone sits down and watch The Traitors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's it for this episode, though. And the last thing I want to say is next week, McKenna and I are going to start our Survivor AU versus the World coverage, and it might be Wednesday, and it might be with a very special guest. So everybody keep tuning into that just in case. I'm not going to say who it is yet because they're a little up in the air on if they're finalized and can do it. But if they can do it, it's going to be awesome. And we're going to be talking about the cast and what we think is going to happen on that season before it starts. We still don't have an official premiere date. Some people say it's June 22nd, but that doesn't seem to be confirmed. And then I think we're going to Brant Steele Survivor 50 next Wednesday night. So a lot going on the channel and a lot more on the horizon. Mike Bloom and I are going to be doing a podcast the last week of June. I got something with Survivor Analytics the first week of July. So follow us on social media, Instagram, X. If you want to follow us on TikTok, you can see pretty much the same things we do on Instagram. But go ahead and check us out on all of those, and stay tuned for what's going to be coming up, because we have plenty dropping. So thank you all so much for listening. Let us know what you think about this cast, and we will see you next time.
See ya.